again, glad day. When I was born again, it was a. When I was born again, it was a glad day. When I. Oh, the things I used to do, I do them. Used to do, I do them no more. Do them no more. It was a glad day when I was born again. Hallelujah. Born again. Born again. I remember talking to a man one time about being born again. So I don't understand that. You know, you can't understand it. It has to happen to you. Amen. It has to happen to you. Right. I had a new birth experience before I understood what that was. But I look back and I said, that's what that was. Yeah. Something happened. Yeah. And now I know he touched me. Yeah. Can we sing that today? Yeah. He touched me. Has he touched you? Yeah. If he hasn't, he can touch it today.
Hallelujah.
Promise to be here. Amen. I was shackled by a heavy burden, underneath a load of guilt and shame, and then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now no longer the same. Oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. Floods my soul. Yes, Lord, I know. Yes, something it happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Oh, since I met him. Oh, since I met this blessed Savior, praise you, Lord. Oh, since he cleansed and made me whole, oh, I shall never see. I'll shout it. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. Oh, he touched me. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. Joy, yes, because I know that something it happened, and now I know he touched me and made. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that I can look back to that day. That day when I wasn't looking for you, but you were looking for me, Lord. When I was content to be in sin, but you weren't content to leave me there. And you reached down your hand and you touched me. And you pricked my heart and you showed me my need. And you led me to Calvary, Lord, to wash away my sins. Lord, thank you, Lord. still unworthy today, Lord. We love you and thank you. And we invite you to come and take control of every one of us, Lord. Take control of our mind, our thoughts, our being. Fill us with your Spirit. Lift us up in the heavenly places. Speak to us from your word, O God. Lord, change us, Lord. Change us and make us what you want us to be. May your word be fulfilled in us. May your Spirit have preeminence in us, Lord. The great mystery, Christ in you. Help us, Lord, today. Bless your people. I know there's many needs, Lord. And we as humans, there's only so much we can do. But with you, all things are possible. And we commit all things into your hands now. Bless the reading of your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn while we're standing to Malachi in chapter 4. Malachi 4. I'm going to read that whole chapter, very familiar to us. Malachi 4, verse 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. May the Lord bless the reading from his word today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be here. It's good to worship God. Appreciate that special that Yesha and Amber sang. My hope is in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We have no hope in anything else. There's nothing else. On Christ the solid rock I stand.
Amen.
All other ground is sinking sand.
Amen.
Every day that becomes more apparent, doesn't it? Every day we see just everything that looked like it had a good foundation just falling apart. Christ is the only thing that'll stand. So we're so glad to contend for the faith that was once delivered. And I believe we are contending. We're living in an evil day. We're living in a day where the Bible promised in the last days there'd be great deception. And our adversary, the devil, is clever. He's not stupid. He's clever. He studied mankind for all his existence, and he knows what works. Amen?
Amen?
And we can't trust in our intellect to fight the devil. We can't trust in our reasoning. We can't trust in our human abilities. We need to trust simply in our faith in the Word of God. Simple faith in the Word of God is what beats the devil. See? So, and I believe you really can't have his faith in you unless you're really born again. And that's why the new birth is critical. You have to have a new birth experience. You cannot see, unless a man is born of water and blood, he cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. You can't see properly. You don't understand what God needs you to understand. So even the things we come to church and we speak from the Bible, we listen to Brother Branham's sermons, we can't really understand what's happening unless we're born of the Spirit of God, because it's that Spirit that quickens it to us.
Yeah, right.
It quickens the Word of God to us. Many people we've seen, unbelievably, follow something for many, many years proclaiming it's true, and then they walk away. How does that happen? Because they were never really by their Spirit quickened to it.
Yes.
But once you're quickened by the, you know, it's all over then. It's all over then. Praise God. I have an unusual subject today, and something came on my heart when I was just reading the Bible. So you bear with me today. Appreciate that Psalm, Tim. That was very good. That was very good, Tim. Amen. I kind of like it when someone gets broke up reading the Bible. It's something real about it. Something real about the Bible affecting us in our spirit, right? Not just intellectually. So, the subject is scarecrows after Elijah's ministry. Now, I know that's an unusual subject, but it just came on my heart real strong. So what is a scarecrow? Now, we've talked on this subject different times at different angles, but a scarecrow, simply, it's an object, usually in the shape of a man, made out of sticks and old clothes to scare birds away from the crops. So that's the scarecrow we understand. You know, a farmer makes a scarecrow in the shape of a scary kind of man, right? Another definition of a scarecrow is a person or a thing that appears frightening, but is not actually harmful. It appears frightening. So a scarecrow is something that is not what it seems to be, but it has a purpose. It was designed to scare, to drive away from the good food. From the good food. So it looks scary, but it really can't hurt you. But it looks scary. You understand? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, example, we talked about, you know, a farmer, he's got birds coming into his crops and they're eating his food. So he doesn't want the birds to eat the food. So he puts up this scarecrow and the birds come down and they're scared of that. It looks like a man. So they're scared, right? And then they don't get to the food. Well, God has good things for his children.
Yes.
Good food, blessings, many, many benefits. You know, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. There's so much that God has for us. And the devil, he knows that. When we receive from God, we become a threat to the devil. When you receive his spirit, when you receive his word, you're a threat. See? But so what he wants to do is drive you away from that. Drive you away from the blessings of God. And how does he do it? Scarecrows. He's always done it. He's always done it. Back in the original, he tried to kill when that church was born on Pentecost, and there went forth, and signs and wonders followed them, every confirming the word, and they went to Book of Acts church. The devil said, we got to stop this. His first reaction is kill them. But when he put that physical persecution on them, they got stronger.
Amen.
So the devil stepped back and says, all right, we need to regroup. How are we going to do it? You know, we can't just sit by while God reproduces himself in all these people. Praise God. So he says, all right, he's a deceiver. He goes, all right, let's, you know, if we can't kill them and out, we'll put up something deceiving that looks like the real thing to keep them from the real thing. So he started setting up false religions. Evil spirits got on people and they set up creeds and doctrines and all kinds of things that weren't true, because the devil noticed if he could just pervert the word a little bit, God wouldn't go near it. See, so all he has to do is pervert what you believe a little bit and God takes his hands off. See, this message came to restore back to the original. The pure, unadulterated word of God.
Right.
Not manhandled, no man's creeds. God doesn't need you to figure it out and make it better. He needs you to believe it.
Amen.
The original word of God, the original experience. So the devil knew if he could just pervert it a little bit, that would make it ineffective. And I'll tell you what, he's been very good at setting up false religions all through the ages. You know, it was in the end time that an end time message came with a prophet to expose denominationalism, that it was never of God. God would anoint a man. He would anoint his man to come forth with a message of deliverance, and then he would bless that. But see, after the man was taken off the scene, the men following always would see evil spirits got involved and they'd set up something that wasn't of God. And instead of a comma, they put a period. It says, you got to believe it just like this or you're out. You know, and we still see the same spirits today.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a denominational name to be a denomination. You could be a one-person denomination. Yeah. All you got to do is be real rigid in what you think, pervert the Word of God, and it's got to be your way or no other way, and you got it all figured out. And we've seen them. One-man denomination. But this message came to destroy denominationalism, to bring back true Christianity. Yeah. So I want to talk about the scarecrows because I really believe that there's many scarecrows, and they're actually working on people. It's actually working and stealing the blessings of God from people. So I'm going to read a couple quotes from Brother Branham just to give you his perspective on it. Now, Brother Branham said, now, he knew there'd be all kinds of signs and all kinds, and because there, it's always that way, phonies and everything else, because it just does it to hide the real thing. There's a lot of people act like they got the Holy Ghost, go out and live any kind of life. That's just an old scarecrow to try to scare you away from the real thing. So that's a kind of scarecrow, is someone who professes to have something they don't have, and then when they live a perverted life, people look at that and say, oh, well, if that's what that is, I don't want nothing to do with it. See, that's just a scarecrow. And where's all the scarecrows at? Not on a sour apple tree, on a good apple tree. And the devil puts all kinds of scarecrows around the real thing. That's where the scarecrows are going to be, around the real thing. He don't have to worry about the other. That ain't going to bother him anyhow, see? When you got the real thing, that's where the scarecrows rise. That's where the bogus dollar is so close to deceive the very elect, said Jesus, you see. That's where you watch, right along the lines there. See? So the scarecrows aren't going to be around something that is not good. It's going to be around something that is good, because the devil doesn't want you to get something good from God. Praise God. So Brother Branham, in another place, he was preaching about divine healing. And divine healing is for you. It's the children's bread. See, God is a healer. Not he was a healer once and not today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, so divine healing is for all. And Brother Branham preached about divine healing. He had a gift in his life that made people recognize God was present, and then their faith could go high and they could accept it. But you know, God's still a healer today. Do we have to have another gift to make us know that God's a healer? God help us. Now listen to what Brother Branham said. He's talking about divine healing, which he gives a good teaching in that too. But profess and confess is the same thing. See, to confess is the same, to say the same thing he did. By his stripes I am healed. Can you say, by his stripes I am healed? By his stripes I'm healed. I'm confessing, see? I'm confessing the same thing he said. See, I'm making a confession. That is what is in the court. You have to say the same thing to my great high priest, for he sits on the right hand of majesty making intercessions upon my confession. That's a great lesson. We can apply that to the Word of God. So you see, before God can do anything for you, you have to believe and confess it. I tell you, no wonder people are scared of divine healing. Now listen to what he's saying. I say this reverently and brotherly, but there's been so many hoax that's called divine healing, you see, that scared people off. So in other words, what Brother is saying, that people come and profess like it's a divine healing ministry and it's a fake. It's a fake thing. Just remember where the scarecrows is under the best apple tree. That's right. It's just a meal ticket. You'll find out where the best apples are in the orchard. That's where the scarecrows and everything around. They're trying to keep you away from the tree. That's exactly what the devil does. You understand? The devil sets up scarecrows. This prophet seer who could see far off is helping us understand what the devil does. And then, I'm not going to read it, you can find a story Brother Branham talked about when he was planting butter beans. You remember that story? And it was a groundhog kept eating his butter beans. So he says, I'm going to scare it off. And he painted a little picture of a scarecrow. He put butter beans in it. And he had his binoculars and he's watching this thing afar off. And he sees this groundhog coming up to the scarecrow, and he's scared of it at first, right? There's a lesson in this. So he says, he stopped, the little fellow, he raised up and he looked at the sack, and it was a sack, had a picture on it. He raised up his hind feet and turned sideways and looks at it, and he knew there was something, that big ugly looking face on it, and he walked up real close and he jumped at it 4 or 5 times. You know, like jumping at it 4 or 5 times. Praise God. Oh, the devil's a bluff, you see. He's a bluff. He's got a scarecrow, looks frightening, but it can't harm you.
Right.
It's only there to scare you away. All right, so he raised up his little hind feet. He noticed something. It never moved, so he smacked it with his little paw, and it rattled with the butter peens. He jumped back 4 or 5 times, looked at it, sized it up again, smacked it again, that face, and he started to rattle with his paw. He started to rattle it. It was just a rattle. So he went right on behind there and went to eating butter beans. It didn't bother him at all. Now listen to what the prophet of God says. When you see something that's bogus, don't pay no attention to it. Amen. That's where we fail. I mean, it's just me now. That's where we fail, is we give it attention. Amen. Too much attention. Amen. Ignore what the devil's doing, yeah, and go around and get to the good food, right? Amen. When we see something that's bogus, don't pay no attention to it. Go right around behind it and keep eating. That's all, see? Don't let nothing scare you away.
Amen.
God is a healer. He's always been. He always will be. Praise God. Don't you love that? You know, this is so strong in my heart. Just bear with me today. The devil puts these scarecrows to keep us away. So, now listen. We know it works. How many of us, I bet you every one of us knows somebody who said, well, I don't go to church because, you know, there's people down there and they just, you know. See, scarecrows at church, in other words, people who are hypocritical or just a sour old somebody that's at church that, you know, a visitor walks in, he's looking for God, and he gets this sour old scarecrow coming up to him and does something rude and chases him away, right? It's a scarecrow. Well, that's what the devil wanted. He didn't want somebody getting something from God. Praise the Lord. So we know it works. I can't tell you how many people have excuses not to go to church, and the devil just would give them. You know, I realize it's kind of a sorry excuse sometimes. You know, people don't go to church or they don't do this or that because they have some wrong motive and some sad excuse. Well, the devil's happy to give you all kinds of excuses not to go to church. He's happy because he doesn't want you getting something from God, because then you're a threat to him. All right. So there's many types of scarecrows. We talked about the phony so-called Christian. That's just one type. There's churches that are social clubs, right? They don't care about the Word of God. They're there to set up a kingdom. They're there to set up a big something or whatever, a big flashy show, and it's all just a bunch of noise. Right? There's ministries set up just to get money. Sure seems like it. Just to be more popular, to be bigger or better. Our church holds 20,000. Our holds 30,000. It's a stadium. But where's God in it all? See? And so some people see all that flash, you know, and not to knock Jim and Tammy Baker and the different televangelists and stuff, but because I don't know their heart, but people see that and they say, I don't want nothing to do with that. It's a scarecrow set up around something that's really good, which is the full gospel, the Pentecostal experience. The devil does not want you to receive the Holy Ghost. So right around where you can get it, he's going to set up all kinds of scarecrows to scare you away. Pray. We're going to whip the devil today. We're going to whip the devil. All right. So Paul had to deal with a different, Acts 16, Amber can put it up. Paul had to deal with a different type of scarecrow. And we'll look at this young lady here. The Bible said she, verse 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, young girl, right? Possessed with the spirit of divination. That wasn't the Holy Ghost, all right? She had a devil on her. Possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same found Paul and us cried, saying, now I want you to see what she said. All right, you paying attention? Everybody awake this morning? These men are the servants of the Most High God. Was that right?
That's right.
That was right.
Right.
You know, the devil don't mind saying something that's right. These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation.
That's right.
Say anything wrong with that? It's exactly right. Told the truth. See how sneaky the devil is? So this damsel's following. Now watch. And this she did many days, but Paul being grieved. Now why was Paul grieved if she was saying what was right? Was what she was doing helping him? She was a scarecrow. She was a scarecrow. Paul, being grieved, said to the Spirit, now, remember the many days Brother Branham talked about that. He didn't rebuke it right away. He waited permission from God, and then he rebuked that Spirit, right? Paul, prisoner of Jesus Christ. Being grieved, turned to the Spirit, said, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her, and he came out the same hour. Now, the point I want you to get is this. She, having an evil spirit, said the right thing, but you can have the real word of God. You can have the truth, but if you've got a wrong spirit, it's not the same. My words are spirit and life. Spirit and truth, right? It's not just the letter of the word that wins people. So this devil-possessed woman's following Paul, the messenger of God. These men are the servants of God that show us the way of life. And everybody's going, that's weird. Huh? I don't want nothing to do with that. Yeah. Right?
Right?
That's exactly what was happening.
Right.
The devil got on her, didn't say anything wrong, but because of the wrong spirit, it was scaring people away from the truth.
Amen.
What God was doing. That's a clever scarecrow. Well, the devil's not clever like that anymore. Yes, he is. He's the same devil. And he uses what works. And that works. People that have the truth but a wrong spirit push more people away from Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord. We need the right spirit. When you're talking to people and you got the Bible and you think you're so self-righteous, you're pushing people away from Jesus. When you're real legalistic and hard and soured and bitter, you're pushing away people from Jesus. His spirit is not that way. He wins people with sweetness, with love as he wins people. The fruits of the Spirit. That's what should be coming out of us. Help us, Lord. Words were true, but it actually hindered Paul. Remember, the devil's clever and effective. He knows what works. So what scarecrows we got following this end time message? What kind of scarecrows? Let's talk about them. Because they work. And they're real. And they're so close to the truth that you can't say what they're saying's wrong all the time. Sometimes what they're saying is wrong. Number one, people that have an extreme reverence of Brother Branham to the place of worship. That's a scarecrow. You get around people that, to take the extreme of it, they were baptizing in the name of William Branham. He said that's wrong.
Right.
He said that's Antichrist. They did it anyway. People worship Brother Branham. Is that the spirit of God? No, that's a wrong spirit.
Amen.
He never encouraged that. No prophet or angel in the Bible ever encouraged worship. The only one that was allowed to be worshipped was God himself.
Amen.
Brother Branham never permitted that. But evil spirits following the message is, all right, if we can't keep them from it, we're going to set up these big old scarecrows around it. We got people today say, tapes only. All ministers are false teachers. We can only listen to Brother Branham. What is that? That's a scarecrow.
Yeah.
It's a devil. Nothing wrong with the tapes, but when you go to an extreme, you create something that looks scary. He can't preach anymore? Who are these people? You got to have a belt buckle? What? You got to have a cowboy hat? You got to talk like Brother Branham? Help us, Lord. Devils in the name of followers. Just like following Paul, that demon spirit was saying truth, but because the spirit was wrong, it's actually pushing people away from the manna of God. Evil spirits. God help us. We know it's true. It drives people away from a true prophet of God and his ministry and the purpose of his ministry. Another one. Some took the message and made a new gospel. A new gospel. Where to the place where they looked down on Paul. They looked down on Azusa Street. They looked down on everything else. But we got a new gospel today. There's a new way to get saved. There's a new, you know, we can receive the Holy Ghost without feeling one thing. And what they do is they misplace, misinterpret quotes of Brother Branham where he's talking to people who were relying on sensations, trying to get them away from that. And now we got a people that have no sensations at all. It's all intellectual. Oh, we got the Holy Ghost without sensation. Actually, we don't cry. We don't repent. We just don't feel anything. We're just cold, intellectual, dead. You look in the book of Acts. There was a lot of sensations that went with that Holy Ghost experience. But when you take something and you go to an extreme, you pervert it and you create a scarecrow. Help us, Lord. I can show you other quotes where he says they never did receive the Holy Ghost without sensations. Now, what do you do with that? You got to take it all and bring it back to the Bible. So watch out for getting at, see, keep your balance. Keep your balance. Trying to make this message something that it's not. Trying to make it some deep revelation. When Brother Branham tried to make everything simple, and now they, you know, I liken it to the veil that was ripped. Jesus died on the cross, right? And we had all the Old Testament priests there, and they rejected Christ. And there was a veil written around the temple, and when Jesus died on the cross, the earthquake happened, and it ripped, that very thick veil was ripped in two. And the symbol was, through Calvary, we have direct access to God. That Old Testament covenant passing away, now it's faith in what he did for us.
Amen.
We don't have to go through the high priest, but you know what the high priest did? They sewed that veil up again and put it back in place and says, you must come this way. Isn't that what happened? God comes in this day in a vindicated, promised prophet of ministry of Elijah. And he rips creeds and doctrines to pieces. He tears apart denominationalism. He tears apart all the man-made, you got to do this, you got to do that. And then the people following it, they sew it up again and say, well, you got to come through our revelation of it. He's whispering secrets. Can't you understand what I'm saying? That ain't no secret. That's a perversion. God came in simplicity. And the message is simple. The seven seals are simple. There's nothing complicated about it. But people want to make it all mysterious again. It's like my good friend Brother Adam said, you know, when he was a kid, you know, he went to this pond and it was real clear. So it looked shallow because it was real clear. And he stepped in and boom, it was 20 foot deep. Woo! Just because something appears clear doesn't mean it's shallow. God's word is very clear, but it's not shallow.
Amen.
He said, but there was another place that was cloudy water and they thought it was deep. He jumped in head first and he got his head stuck in the mud. Because cloudy waters can appear deep, but they're very shallow. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, mystery, mystery. You know, I thank God that he took away the mysteries.
Amen.
The revelation means the uncovering of.
Yes.
We don't need somebody to sew it back up again and make it mysterious. Scarecrows. Taking away from what God has done. Praise the Lord. You know, some people have the wrong idea of what a prophet is. Prophet's perfect. Can never say anything wrong. Can never do anything wrong.
No.
Where did they get that from? That's not scriptural. When I look at the prophets in the scripture, Moses smote the rock twice. Samuel said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Oh, he's out. He can't be a prophet. See, prophets are human as well. Amen. Prophets make mistakes. Oh, no, you can't say that. It's perfect. It has to be perfect. It has to be perfect. It has to be perfect. Who said it has to be perfect? The devil. Amen. Because he knows it's not. Amen. And then when someone finds out that it's not, he says, see, it's no good. You got to walk away. Praise the Lord. Amen. Scarecrows set up by the devil just to keep people away from the good, to drive people away from good food, to cause doubt and fear when it shouldn't even be there. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Look at John the Baptist. He was anointed by God. Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. And later he's going, could you go ask him if he's the one? Is that perfect? No, that's man without the anointing of God. And that's every one of us without the anointing of God. See, Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. Right? And we are all men. And Elijah was a man. And Brother Branham was a man. I never expected him to be perfect because the prophets in the Bible weren't perfect. So this idea was set up by the devil to push people away when they found out that he's not. Praise the Lord. Amen. This idea that we must be able to understand everything. I love that one. I hate that one. People actually, they come across, well, if I can't figure it out, then it's got to be wrong. What? You're a Christian? If you don't understand it, it's got to be wrong. If you can't prove something happened, it's wrong. Where did that come from? That's the devil. That's the devil. You know, where's faith fit in the picture? Now, faith is not just a blind faith, but I'm talking about a revelation from God. Where God reveals something to you and you don't have it all figured out, but you know. Yeah, I remember one time years ago, I was reading my Bible, and I just as sure as I'm just sitting there reading my Bible, and just a revelation come to me that the next day, Brother Sanger was going to preach about faith. And I just knew. There was no noise. There was no trumpets. There was no angelic choir. I'm reading my Bible, but I knew. I had it. No doubt. Yeah. Have you ever had that kind of faith?
Yeah.
And I'm driving out with my brother to Brother Sanger's church. I said, Mark, I don't know how I know it, but he's going to preach about faith today. He said, how do you know? I said, I don't know. I didn't figure it out. I didn't study it. I didn't call and ask around. I knew. How? By a revelation.
Amen.
From God. And we get out there, and Brother Sanger gets up there. You got to love Brother Sanger. He says, I don't want to just preach about anything today. I'm going to preach about faith. And my brother sitting next to me just hit me in the side. I said, I don't know how. And that would happen multiple times. How does that happen? Well, the Bible says the Holy Ghost will show you things to come.
Amen.
I can't explain it, but we don't have to explain everything.
Hallelujah.
And it's wrong to demand of your God that he has to explain everything to you. He's God, we're not. It's dangerous to accept that concept. It's a scarecrow that pushes people away. Well, I don't understand it, so it must be wrong. I tried to figure it out. Ministers following this message, and they say, well, I studied and I couldn't figure it out. You're not supposed to figure it out.
Yeah, that's right.
Holy Spirit reveals things to us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Simeon, you know, he went down there, led of the Holy Ghost, and he hears a baby cry. He probably heard a lot of babies cry. Because they were circumcising those babies, right? Day in, day out, circumcising babies, crying, crying, crying. And one day he heard a cry and he went, whoa.
Amen.
Something quickened Simeon.
Yes. Amen.
Move of the Holy Ghost. Now you can take me, Lord.
Yes.
I've seen him.
Praise God.
Did he figure it out?
No.
He had a revelation.
from God. He was inspired by God. It was revealed to him. He had faith without doubt. This is the one.
Yes.
He'd been waiting all these years. Was the cry that different physically? Well, Jesus had a special cry. Listen, we all love Jesus, but he cried like any baby.
Amen.
He looked like a common man.
Amen.
He didn't look special, but he was.
Yes.
It takes a revelation to know who he is.
Amen.
In every age. Praise the Lord. It's a revelation. It's inspiration. And today, see, some people do not have a God-given revelation that Brother Branham is a prophet of God that fulfilled Scripture. Now, there's many prophets. I know a few guys that are seers myself. But it's different when it's a promise prophet.
Yeah.
John the Baptist was a promise prophet.
That's right.
The voice crying, Isaiah prophesied of him hundreds of years.
Amen.
Malachi said, messenger coming before my face to prepare the way.
Amen.
Right? Talking about John. And when John came, listen, if you're trying to figure it out intellectually, he ate bugs. He lived in the wilderness. He was a wild man. He was crazy. He was hairy. Scary. You know, God sets up scarecrows too. No, he doesn't. He sure does. And the only way you're going to stay with it is if you have a revelation from God. That's the only way you're going to stay with it. Praise the Lord. Many people don't have it. See, so they don't understand who he was. They don't understand the purpose of the ministry. They don't understand it. You know, but the church of the living God is not built on intellectual. Let's go to Matthew 16, Amber. Praise the Lord. Matthew 16, 14. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith to them, Jesus says, but whom say ye that I am? I got to ask you that today. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ.
Yes,
what's Christ? The anointed one.
Amen.
Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
That's right.
And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What was the rock? Upon this rock. Some people said Jesus was the rock. Some people said Peter was the rock. But it wasn't that. It was the revelation that he had from God upon this rock of revelation of who Jesus was, what God was doing in his day. Upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Revelation. Now, there's another one. The devil knows this is a day where there's revelation, so he puts scarecrows out there in the name of revelation. There's so much about revelation that's not even God's revelation. So you got to sort through that too. Oh, Brother John, there's so much. So what? We're in the last days. We're in the days of deception. All the scarecrows are around the something that's good, not around something that's bad. If you just want a social club, go back to denominations. They'll give you coffee. You can get your hair done. You can get all kinds of stuff done. But you won't get the gospel of Jesus Christ. They won't rebuke you where you're wrong. They won't talk about sin. Christians want to know where they're wrong. They want to be pricked in their heart. They don't want to blindly follow a devil. Thank God for the message. You know, sometimes Brother Branham preaches at us and he tears into us and we just feel like a rag doll. But then we go, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for showing me where I'm wrong. When I can't see it myself, I needed a prophet to just tear into me. Praise the Lord. You know, Brother Mamas, I loved him. He would say, Brother John, he said, sometimes I listen to Brother Branham and I wonder if I'm even saved. I said, I know what you're saying. He just tears into you. Tears into you. But see, that wasn't Brother Branham doing that. That was Elijah hewing out a bride. Ripping you away from the world. Ripping you away from creeds. Ripping you away from denominationalism. And the only way you're going to go with it is a revelation from God. To really go with it. Church is built upon divine revelation. Now I ask you, they didn't understand everything. Do you think that original church understood everything? The original church did not understand, but they had the revelation that Jesus was the Messiah. Let's go to John chapter 6, 52. John 6, 52. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, I couldn't get away from this. Burning on me. Burning on me. John 6, 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And, you know, say, Jesus don't have no scarecrows. He said they had to eat his flesh and drink his blood. That's a scarecrow.
Yeah.
All right, without a revelation, you're thinking, look at what they said. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? He wants us to be cannibals. Right? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He didn't back down a bit. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. The way to eternal life is to eat his flesh and drink his blood? And I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is meat indeed. You know, I can say amen.
Amen.
My flesh is meat indeed.
That's right.
Amen. The word of God.
Amen.
My blood is drink indeed. He that eateth and drinketh, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. As the living Father has sent me and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Can you imagine Jesus standing there saying that to these people? And what did they say? These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, how many? Just a few? How many is many? Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard that, this said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that the disciples murmured at it, he put up another one. God wouldn't do that. God wouldn't do that. God wouldn't do that. He did it. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When Jesus knew himself, they murmured. He said unto them, doth this offend you? Are you offended? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth there. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore I said unto you, no man, look what he says, no man can come to me except it were given him of my Father. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Did he look disappointed? What did he do next? Whew. Then said Jesus to the 12, will ye also go away? Go. You want to follow them? Go ahead. Think I care? Go. Will you also go away? There's no nice way to say that. It's a test. See, he knew already, but he was showing them. What was he showing them? Even though they didn't understand, they were going to stay.
Amen.
Why were they going to say? Because the church was built upon revelation, not intellectual understanding.
Amen.
Direct revelation from God. Will you go away also? Simon Peter answered to him, Oh, I can't wait to hug on Simon. Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure. Are you sure today? And are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Where could we go? Lord, do you want me to go back to the denominations? Where could I go? I can't worship a Trinity doctrine now. Sorry, I can't say the rosary no more, Lord. I can't take Holy Communion like they do anymore, Lord. Can't do it. I can't go back. I can't go back with the turnaround collar and the robe priest and the fish hat and all the pomp and all the circumstance. And there's no life in it. I want the real thing. Well, then we got to realize around the real thing, there's a lot of scarecrows. There's a lot of things that are going to try and drive you away. Even God himself might give you a test or two. A little testing time. Jesus never explained those words intellectually. He communicated through spiritual revelation. So this idea that we got to be able to figure out is not scriptural. This idea that gets in your head, well, you don't really understand it. You need to walk away. Wait a minute. What does your heart say?
Yeah.
I remember a time when I first started listening to Brother Branham, and in my mind there was a lot of questions. But in my heart, something's going, amen. But in my mind, I say, oh, man, I don't, what if it's wrong? What if this and that? And all these doubts and fears and all this, you know. How about them prayer cards? How did they do that? And then you discern somebody without a prayer card. Well, I guess that wasn't a deal, was it? Huh? But one day, see, it was like my faith was here and all these doubts would wash over me. And I was troubled. In my heart, I believed it. But in my mind, see, that's where the greatest battle ever fought is, in your mind. That's where all the doubts and fears and all kinds of trouble. And one day, I can't explain it, brother and sister, but one day my faith went from here to here. And them doubts would try to get up there, and they couldn't get there no more. They're trying real hard. I said, hey, you ain't get me now. I've been down that path before, devil. I've been down there before. The devil's a hypocrite. First, he'll tell you, false prophet, stay away from it. Stay away from that thing. Stay away. It's a false prophet.
Yeah.
And then when you're believing it, he'll say, Brother Branham said, if your wife cuts her hair, you can put her away. Man. And my wife cutting her hair. And I'm saying, I ain't putting her away. I'm going to believe for her.
Amen.
Because there's another part of the message where he said, if they can't believe, you believe for them.
Yeah.
I'll take that one with me, devil.
Yeah.
I do a lot of talking to yourself, you know. But we're fighting.
Amen.
We're fighting.
Amen.
A battle. The devil, man, he's such a hypocrite. You know, he's a phony. He's defeated already. How do you know, Brother John? Because I read the end of the story.
Amen.
He's defeated and he's bluffing.
Yes,
what for? To keep the blessings from you. And listen, he's good at it. He's really good at it, but we're not going to let him.
Amen.
See, they couldn't explain, the disciples couldn't explain everything that Jesus just said. But they said, we may not understand everything. We may not understand all that Jesus said, but we're sure of this one thing. He's the Christ.
Amen.
That they were sure of. They couldn't explain everything. They weren't looking forward to, you know, slicing up flesh and drinking blood. And they're like, I don't understand that. But they thought in their mind, at some point, he'll help me understand that.
Amen.
At some point, I there's something there that's good. And I'm not walking away from it. Because it's from God. And it's so good that I trust he'll help me with the things I don't understand.
Thank you, Lord.
That's the revelation from God, you see. Not that you understand everything. And today, listen, I may not be able to explain anything, but there's one thing I'm sure. God sent a prophet to this generation.
Amen.
A promised prophet.
Right.
Malachi 4, Elijah, it has been fulfilled.
Amen.
I believe that. Before the second coming of Christ, I believe that. And I'm sure that the spirit of Elijah came as the literal fulfillment of Scripture. You know, what makes us different than other denominations? Listen, we believe God sent a prophet.
Amen.
In the fulfillment of Scripture. Not everybody believes that.
Yeah.
And this is huge. No man convinced me of that. Amen. It was something from God.
Amen.
And it happened right away. Right away. I had a new birth experience. The Lord brought me right to the Bible. And I was in a whole new world. The whole world looked different. I'm reading the Bible. It's speaking to me. And then God bring me afterwards. He brought me to Brother Branham's ministry. And he's talking. My brother Jerry showed me that video. And I saw that video. And something inside me was exploding. I didn't understand everything, but I believe that man's telling the truth. I didn't even understand how I knew that, but I knew it. It wasn't based on intellectual reasoning. It wasn't based on intellectual understanding. It was a revelation from God, and I've never been able to get away from it. And I never will. I can see it's just faith from God. All the devils of hell couldn't drag me away from knowing that William Branham fulfilled the Scripture in this day. And Elijah prophet in this day. Doesn't matter people's intellectual understandings that I proved it. Hey, listen, I got a revelation from God.
Amen.
You misunderstood somewhere. Right?
Amen.
Let's go to Revelation chapter 1. I believe people still, even around this message, don't understand the magnitude of it.
Amen.
Say, how can you say that, Brother John? Because they don't listen to it. If you understood the importance and the magnitude, you would make time in your life and listen to what this prophet was saying. But you could go to church in a message church. You could sit on a pew. You could kind of agree a little bit and you can go along. But your life speaks louder than your words.
Amen.
And in day-to-day action, do you feed on it?
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Revelations chapter 1. I wanted to show you something here. And you might already know this, but it's good to look at it again. Remind. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. This is John, right? Island of Patmos. And heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega.
Amen.
The first and the last. Who is this? This is God. What thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And I turned and I saw, what did he see when he turned? I saw seven golden candlesticks. Woo! And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and hairs were white like wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Wow. And his feet was like unto fine brass. See, they're symbolizing things. And as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. What's the voice of many waters? It's people.
Right.
Nations, kindred, tongues, multitudes of people.
Amen.
Jesus speaks through a lot of people.
Right.
And he had in his right hand. Now, this is clearly God, right? Does anyone say this is not God? This is God.
Amen.
This is Jesus Christ in his deity form, white hair, judgment throne. Listen, when we get there, there's only one. It's Jesus. Be Jesus, God. And in his hand, in his right hand, the power, the strength of Jesus, seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive evermore. Do you believe that today? Jesus is not dead. Don't look at the circumstances. Don't look at the conditions. God is alive. God's word is true. I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. What's an angel? It's a messenger.
Amen.
Look it up. Angels, a messenger. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. You know, there was a lot more than seven churches back then. There was other churches back then. Why did he only pick those seven? You see, he was revealing to John the seven church ages. And those existing seven churches were selected because that church had the characteristics of the future age.
Amen.
Praise God! The revelation of the seven church ages.
Yes.
If that don't blow your mind, it's important.
Yes, amen.
The whole Gentile dispensation laid out in seven church ages.
Yeah.
Paul being the first star.
Amen.
Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, and Brother Branham.
Amen.
I am sure, and I have no doubt, that that Elijah of Malachi 4 was the seventh church age messenger.
Amen.
He was the angel to the seventh church age.
Amen.
And they say, why do you listen to his tapes? Why do you follow this ministry? Because it's in the Bible.
Amen.
It's not Brother Branham's message. It's God's message to this age. It's the voice of God to this age.
Yes.
Brother Branham didn't do this. It's not a human thing that happened. It's divine. But one of the scarecrows that always happens is the devil starts to worship the vessel that God uses. Just like when he put the serpent on the pole. Because they were bitten by serpents and they were dying. So the solution was they put a brazen serpent in the, and if they looked at the pole, they lived.
Right.
See, it was faith, really. But what happened to those people? They started to worship the serpent on the pole. And that thing became a curse to them. Right? Until they had to destroy it. The thing that God used for deliverance. The devil will get you to start to worship that thing instead of God. How about Mary? Yes, she mothered Jesus. He was in her womb. She gave birth to Jesus. You believe that? But God created that in her womb. He was not the son of Joseph and Mary. He was God manifested in flesh. But after Mary gives birth, even you can find in the Bible Mary worshipers. They get around Jesus. Here's God manifested in flesh. And somebody saying, blessed is the womb that bare thee, the paps that gave thee suck. Is that in the Bible? It's in the Bible. Mary worship. I grew up around Mary worshipers. I can pick them a mile apart. And they're around this message. Woo! Same spirit, worshiping Brother Branham.
Amen.
They have the same characteristics. Amen. False humility.
Amen.
Oh. I want to smack them and say, stand up.
Yeah.
I was raised around priests and nuns. And I can tell you, brother and sister, I can point out that spirit a mile away.
Yeah.
It's a false religion.
Amen.
It's not Christianity. Some people get around Joseph and Billy Paul and they change. Oh. They're not God. Human beings are brothers like you and I. They got faults. They do things wrong, obviously. Everybody does things wrong. Brother Branham wasn't perfect. There's only one perfect man that lived. That's Jesus Christ. He's the only one to be worshipped. You know, he's the only one to be reverenced, if you ask me. Yeah, give reverence to the prophet of God, but don't do it too much. As a little boy, we used to walk from the school to the church in a procession. And they had a May Queen. And we walked down to the church and we're all in line. We're all dressed up and there's a girl in white and she crowned Mary.
Amen.
My sister did it. Crown, where... That's a little out of place, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, but it's just reverence because she's the mother of Jesus. If you read Catholic doctrine, which I started to do after I came to the Bible, it says, listen, if you can't get something from Jesus, sometimes you get it quicker from his mother. It says it in writing. It says in the Catholic doctrine, if any man uses that scripture, that there's one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. If any man uses that scripture to say he shouldn't pray to Mary, that man is a heretic. I read that and said, I'm a heretic. Amen. If that's right, I'm a heretic. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You see, it's false spirits. How many millions follow Mary? How many millions think because they say one Hail Mary, two Hail Marys, three Hail Marys, four Hail Marys, our Father, one Hail Mary, two Hail Marys, and they think they get something out of it. Listen, you don't get something from God. Has already blessed us with everything.
Yes.
You just need to receive from him by faith.
Amen.
You don't earn God's favor. He's already blessed you with his favor.
Praise
the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Where was I? Seven church ages. The seven future church ages. Oh, I got to move along. See, praise God.
Amen.
This message wasn't a man-made thing.
That's right.
It was God. That's why he took a Kentucky hillbilly.
Amen.
How could anyone believe that a Kentucky hillbilly did this?
Come on.
How could anybody believe that? It's the stars in his hand. How important was the revelation of the seven church ages? Very important.
Yes, yes.
Very. It's foundational. Has everybody read it? Has everybody heard those tapes? If you haven't, you've missed something important.
That's right.
Seventh church age messenger. The seventh church age angel messenger is the Elijah promised to Malachi 4.
Exactly right.
That's my revelation. And I believe it's from God. I have no doubt about it. I don't care what anybody says. I mean, it's clear to me. There's no doubt at all. Think. Look at all the discernment and Brother Branham went through. Those thousands of people that come into the prayer line, and he told them who they were, told them what the doctor said to them. Oh, you were sitting on your bed. You were praying this. And how did he do that? How could a man do that? How do people throw it away? That's what's amazing to me. How about all the people that were healed? All the thousands of testimonies. Thousands of people healed. How could he preach the deep things of God the way he does without an education, without anything? He had a visitation from an angel.
Amen.
You know, how would your Bible study be improved if an angel from God came and visited you and gave you some guidance and talked to you? I believe it. See, listen, here's the choice you got to make. Either Brother Branham was the biggest liar in the whole world,
yeah,
or else an angel came to him.
Yeah.
Literally came and visited him and spoke to him and commissioned him and give him that ministry.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind. And if an angel came to him, that's important.
Amen.
Look at the seven seals. If you listen or read the seven seals, it exposes the devil all down through the church ages. It totally exposes his tactics. How the devil comes in with a saying, just subtle. Hey, brother, you know, this means that, and this as a saying. And then it gets enough ground, it becomes like a doctrine. And then it becomes a forcing. That's right. That's the way the devil... But he only did that back there, John. No, he's still doing it today around the message. First, it's a saying, you know. Oh, did you know the seven seal means this and that? And everything's been revealed, and we know everything. And you know, they're guessing at it. Oh, but if you don't accept it, you're out. Wait a minute. Brother Branham said it wasn't revealed, so when was it revealed? He said it'd be revealed right at the end. Boy, you had that 20, 30 years ago. Help us, Lord. I'm not saying I got it all figured out, but if you say to somebody, wait a minute, cut you off. Just like a Trinity doctrine. That's the spirit of it. Watch out what you believe. Make sure Brother Branham really taught that. It's what the devil's done. The sermons were revealed in simplicity, not complicated. You listen to some people around the message, you get a headache. I remember walking out of going, man, I got a headache. I never felt like this listening to Brother Branham. Got this weird type and that weird type and this and that and that, and you're all over the place. One guy came to Philly, and I remember he preached for like 6 hours. I have no idea what he said. He talked a lot, he said a lot, but I walked out of there going, I'm just a little confused right now. That's not the gospel. It's in simplicity. Though a child could understand it. Praise the Lord. Divine healings, the children bred. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Look at all these things. The truth of marriage and divorce. Exposing denominational systems for what they are. Exposing the Nicolaitan spirit, the great harlot. Revealing the mark of the beast, the seal of God. The truth of the Godhead. Not three persons, three manifestations of one spirit.
Amen.
The anointed ones at the end time. People can be anointed with the true spirit of God, but be false in their hearts. How about a curveball that? Original sin, the election, predestination of God, the grace of God. Brother Branham didn't bring this message. God always hides himself in simplicity.
Amen.
And then reveals himself in the same simplicity.
Right.
Don't let scarecrows push you away from the food of God. Now listen, I'm going to say something. It's not just people that walk away. The devil sets up scarecrows, people that still follow the message, they don't listen to it anymore. Why? If you really believe it, why? Well, I don't really need it, you know. Okay, you don't need it. I do.
Amen.
I need it. It feeds my spirit.
Yes.
It feeds my soul. It gets me back in line. It helps me understand better.
Amen.
See, you say you don't need it. Well, all right. Well, what else are you feeding on?
That's right.
If you were once feeding on it and you loved it, and now you don't feed on it, I would say you've substituted with something worldly.
Wow.
A worldly taste. See, try and eat a good apple after you've just eaten candy. The apple don't taste very good. But if you don't eat candy, the apple is really, you can get all the flavor out of it, right? We know that's true.
Amen.
So things that are bad for you, they affect your taste buds.
Yeah.
And if we're feeding on the world, we might not like it anymore. Scarecrows, devil driving you away from feeding on the good food that needs your soul, needs that. And then you're not reading your Bible, you're not praying, you're not listening to Brother Branham, and then you're weak and the devil's beating you up. You're saying, why am I so weak? Because you're not eating. You're not eating the manna from heaven. You're not eating the food that we need in this age to get through this age. Substituted that with something else. You look within yourself. See, I'm not here to judge you. I got enough problems dealing with my own self. We're all in this together. We're all fighting that flesh man. But listen, my soul needs the food from heaven. You know, the wonderful thing is, if you turn to God today and you're honest with Him, you say, Lord, I've been wrong. Lord, help me. You know, He'll take you back. What a great God. He'll welcome you back. He'll bless you. He'll give you joy and peace that you lost because you turned away from Him. Praise the Lord Jesus. So, it's spiritual food in due season. I'm going to finish now. Let me go through some of the messages that I think are important that we've been listening to here. And I think you really need to feed on them. Is it a law you have to? No, it's a blessing.
Amen.
Don't let the devil rob you of these blessings. The greatest battle ever fought. What a powerful truth. It's in your mind. Wisdom versus faith. The devil's so-called wisdom versus faith of God. God's children live by faith. The devil's children live by reasoning with the Word of God. The spoken word is the original seed. What a feast from God. The restoration of the bride tree. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. We just got finished that. I got a little quote from there. I want to read it because it was so wonderful. Three kinds of believers. In every church, there's three kinds of believers. Believers, make believers, unbelievers. That's tough when there's only three in the church, right? You start looking around. Who is this Melchizedek? God's masterpiece. Jesus was God's masterpiece. He smote him. Just like, I love that sermon. Michelangelo making the sculpture of Moses. Don't you love that? It was in his mind, this image, and he's sculpting and carving all these years, and finally that image is there, what was in his mind, and he gets Moses, Michelangelo gets so inspired, he smotes the stone and says, "Speak!" Because the masterpiece was right before him. Here's Jesus, God down through the prophets, he's forming and forming, all comes down, and Christ comes on the scene, and God smote him. Because it was such a perfect, oh, Jesus is perfect. The perfect display of God. He smote him for us. Praise the future home of the earthly bride and the heavenly bridegroom. Birth pains. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. I can tell you, one of the most powerful anointed messages you could hear is Brother Branham preaching, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled." It comes off the tape. It just flows over you. Why? Because he was a vindicated prophet at the end of his ministry saying, "This day, this scripture, Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears."
Amen. Hallelujah!
Praise God. That's not chump change. That's important.
Amen.
That's really important. I can't make you feed on the message. But the reason that this church was started was to point to it and say, there's something wonderful here.
Amen.
I don't have my own message. I don't need to. I just need to believe the one God sent.
Yeah. That's right.
They said, "Jesus, what can we do to work the works of God?" Or he said, "This is the will of God. Believe on him whom God has sent." Whom God has sent.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen. I do believe with all my heart that down there on the river there in Jeffersonville, that a pillar of fire came down and hung over that person being baptized, and that a voice from heaven said, "As John the Baptist forerun the first coming of Christ, so will you, your message, forerun the second coming of Christ." I got no doubt in my mind. Do you doubt it? I have no doubt in my mind. It's important. Don't let the scarecrows throw you off. Drive you away. Don't let worldly spirits separate you from the food of God.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
If you're a Christian, every time you feed on the world, you're going to be disappointed.
Amen.
They will never fail to disappoint you and grieve the Holy Spirit away from you.
Yes.
Amen.
But you feed on the Word of God. Feed on the messenger God has sent. It satisfies your soul.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We're at the end. Jesus is coming back. 1 Thessalonians 4, I want to leave you with this thought. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." You believe that?
Amen.
What do you think that shout's going to be like? Ah! "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God." I know Trump. I know Donald Trump. Well, maybe there's something to it. "And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up." Caught up. Where does the Bible say rapture? Right there.
Amen.
"Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Let's all stand. I want to read something to you. Just a small paragraph. Don't let the scarecrows throw you off. This is at the end of "Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed." We just finished listening to this together. And there's just a little paragraph where Brother Branham says something so beautiful. I want you to hear this. You ready? He says, "I love you. Don't forget the commandments of God to you, little children. Love one another. Love everybody. Right or wrong, sinner or saint, love them anyhow. Now listen. If you don't, then pray to God to help you. Because God loved the sinner. Amen. See, some people believe God don't love the sinner. No, he hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. Amen. There's a difference. God loved the sinner. And the nature of God is in you. If the man is wrong, love him anyhow. Yes. Where do we get in our mind that we shouldn't love people if they're wrong? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I love that. If the man is wrong, love him anyhow. Don't partake of his sins, see? Don't partake of his sins, but in sweetness. Sweetness. Not in sourness and rebuke. Oh, I wish we could get that. But in sweetness. Not in sourness and rebuke, in sweetness tell him of the hope of life that rests within you through Jesus Christ being revealed to you by the Holy Ghost. Praise God. That's the message. Love everybody. Christ in you. Say, I can't do that. Christ has the ability to do that.
Amen.
He died for everybody. Let's bow our heads. Oh Lord, thank you for your mercy, Lord. Lord, I know that I don't have it all figured out, Lord. And there's many things that I don't understand. But Lord, there's one thing I do understand, that you took my place on Calvary. And that sacrifice you made was absolutely perfect. Lord, and I'm resting in that. I'm trusting in that, Lord. And I believe that your Spirit anointed men with seven spirits down through the church ages. It was your Spirit, Lord. And that Brother Branham came not because he did it, but you did it through him, Lord. You are the healer. You are the revealer of the word. You are the seer. You are the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You are the one calling us out of denominations. You're the one crying, come out of her, my people. Be not partaker of her sins. You're the one, Lord. And you're the one we worship today. We don't worship Brother Branham. Lord, we look forward to meeting him, shaking his hand and hugging his neck. But we'll stand next to Brother Branham and worship you, Lord Jesus. And we're so grateful that you allowed us to witness what you did in this day. Lord, I ask you to help the people to feed on what's important. Feed on the message of the hour. There's something wonderful there, Lord, for us. Feed on the scriptures. Pray. Help us, Lord, to pray. Help us to do what's right. Forgive us where we failed you in any way, Lord. Lord, give us your sweet Spirit when we're dealing with someone that's wrong, that we won't be defensive and contentious and argumentative, but in sweetness, we'll talk about Jesus. Lord, thank you for this day. I thank you for allowing me to stand here, unworthy that I am, Lord, and speak on these things, Lord. Help us all, Lord, to draw closer to you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Stanley asked me to pray for his son. Do you want to come forward, the whole family? He's going away to school, right? You know, raise a child in the way he should go. I like how Brother Green said it. Not that Samuel would leave it. But if they did leave it, it'll never leave them.
Amen.
I have kids running from God. But my God's got long arms.
Amen.
Now, he's not leaving God. He's going to stand like a true soldier.
Amen.
Right? So let's, maybe we can have some of the brothers come up and we'll pray together. Brother Ed.
Amen. Let's all scatter around. Scatter around. God be with us. Now there's a lot of devils out there trying to throw you off. But you just be simple in your heart. If you ever do anything wrong, just quickly when you come to your Father, as we lay our hands to sing, just ask you to bless them.
Amen.
May you just put your angels on guard around him. As he goes forth, Lord, into different places now in the world, we just ask you to strengthen his faith. Give him your faith, Lord. Give him your courage. May he boldly stand for you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May he stand in the face of all the enemies, Lord. And when the devil tries to press hard, may he in sweetness, Lord, just be able to declare, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the saving power of Calvary. Lord, and may others see this stand and take courage. Bless him, Lord Jesus. Help him, Lord, to do your will. Bless what he puts his hand to do. Give him the strength and mind to do the schoolwork and everything, Lord. We know it's hard. Bless him, O God. And may he, at the end of his life, know that he did your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love you. Come back here every anytime you want. God bless you. Praise God. We'll give the glory to Jesus.
Amen.
And we'll tell of his love.
Yes.
Amen.
We'll give the
glory
to Jesus and tell of his love and tell of his love. We'll give all the glory to Jesus and tell of his wonderful. Let's sing that again. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of his love and tell of his love. We'll give all the glory to Jesus and tell Amen. Let's sing, Give Me Oil, My Lamp. You know, Brother Man said the most important message he preached was a token. Because that's how we get out of here. That's how you go in the rapture. The token is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We've got to have the seal of God in our hearts. That's one of the most important thoughts you can understand. Amen. Give me oil, the Holy Ghost, in my lamp. Keep me burning. Oh, give oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, keep me burn. Give me all in my lamp, I pray. Hallelujah. Give me all in my lamp. Keep me burn. Keep me burning till the break of day. And we'll sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. And we'll sing Hosanna. Sing. Sing Hosanna to the King. Oh, give me oil. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burnt. Keep me burnt. Give me oil in my lamp. And we'll sing, sing, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings, and we'll sing Hosanna. sing. Sing Hosanna to the King. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Sing Hosanna to the King. Praise the Lord. I was thinking about a song and I can't remember the title. Come and dine. The Master calleth. Come and dine. That's what he's saying today. Come and dine. Anybody know the number of that one?
43.
Oh. There we go. 43. Thank you. It's good. I need my glasses. 43 in the song books. Jesus has a table spread. Amen.
Amen.
Where the saints of God are fed. Amen. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth meet and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth. Yes, you may feast.